Hello, welcome! Season 2, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. I'm Jenny Tooley, your aging ingenue. I'm so excited that you're here today. Before we jump on into this episode, I wanted to let you know I have made a new treat for you. It's the Interactive Companion Guide for Season 1. Yes, Interactive Companion Guide, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue, Season 1. Jump on over to jennytooley.com to get more information. We're also going to be offering a mentorship program this year, so make sure that you are getting your monthly newsletter so that you can get all the insider tips and info. All right, what you've been waiting for? Here we go. Hey everybody, Jenny Tooley here, Confessions of an Aging Ingenue. I'm so glad to have you with me today, and I am very excited because I have a special guest today. You know, I recently came up to Northwest Arkansas, up to the Ozarks, and I didn't know exactly what to expect. But I have to tell you, it's pretty amazing up here, especially with local businesses, and I found one of my favorites. Have I told you about the time that I fell in love with coffee at Just Be Coffee Bar, right? Is the bar at the end there, Belen? Okay. Yep. So today I'm here with Belen. She is the owner and barista extraordinaire at Just Be Coffee Bar, and also the owner and roaster, I guess I should say that, at New Java. Now, is it a roaster or is it a roast? I want to call it a roastery.
It's a roastery.
Is it really? Yes, it okay, I got it.
Yes. Yeah, it's a coffee roastery.
Okay, excellent. So I'm here with Belen. Belen, could you say your whole name for me? I want to hear it out of your mouth.
Okay, my name's Belen Arriola.
See, I knew you'd say it better than me. I would have done a hack job on it. Belen Arriola.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And can you tell me a little bit about, we're going to start with your like public-facing bio. Who are you? What do you do?
All right. I am the owner and operator, like you said, of New Java Coffee Company and Just Be Coffee Bar. I've been roasting coffee for 5 years and making coffee as a barista probably for 6-7 years cumulatively. Started in Phoenix, did a little bit in Vermont, along with the other stuff, most of the other stuff. And then here at Just Be Coffee Bar.
Okay. So you started as a barista 6 or 7 years ago. How did that happen?
Well, I guess it starts off with a coffee dream. And, so it's travel in time and go back to 2010. Okay. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and kind of going through a rough patch in life, as we sometimes do. This one in particular was, I just felt really numb and like no feeling in particular. Like there weren't any highs. There weren't really, if I was going to feel something, it's probably going to be a low. And I was just trying to seek purpose, I think. But I was young, right? And when you're young, sometimes if you can feel so helpless to making impact in the world.
Right.
And so I was beginning to research local businesses and the impact that local shopping local can have in community. And I had made a list of coffee bars and coffee shops that were independently owned, local. And on this particular day, I happened to go to a First Friday. First Fridays are art walks. They happen first Friday of every month.
Okay.
And they're still happening in Phoenix, Arizona. They've changed a lot. And so it was my first time going to one of these, and it just so happened to start off at a coffee shop that was on my list of small businesses, independently owned, local. So I go in there, and there's art on the walls. There's an open mic happening. And I'm just taking everything in and thinking, wow, this is really cool. I get, I don't know, drip coffee, fix it up. I don't take a sip until I'm walking out of the coffee shop. And as soon as I take that sip, I immediately felt like I came alive. Like it just brought me back to life.
Mm.
And everything, whatever that heaviness or numbness that I had, it just kind of evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned back and I looked back at the coffee shop. And I said to myself, someday I want to have a place like this. And it was out of character for me to say something like that.
Uh-huh.
I had never wanted to be like a business owner. And, but the feeling and the thought was so clear. I you know, I took it in, I kept walking, and I thought, you know, like when I retire or something.
Right.
My mind kicking in and being like, how are you going to do that?
Right. You can't do this for your like life.
That's right.
Life stuff.
So fast forward a few more years and a few more ups and downs. It's another low. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess I should go work at a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
If I really, because I couldn't forget that that's something that I wanted to do. I kept talking about it. And I kept thinking about it through the years.
Was it in your body too? Like, did you still have that feeling? Or could you touch that feeling somewhere?
Not really. I think at the time I was pretty out of touch with like
okay.
that, but I couldn't, it just kept coming back, you yeah. know? So probably yes, but I probably wasn't too aware of that. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go work at a coffee place. Cause what if I suck at making coffee?
You know? Yeah, that would be a problem.
Or what if I don't enjoy it? Or what if I don't enjoy like the people aspect of it? Because I was very, very, very introverted back then. Mm. And so I found this little coffee place that was opening a second location. It really aligned with my values, which is great. They were taking a Jiffy Lube and turning it into a coffee shop.
Okay.
And so we got trained by the roastery. And I loved it. I loved making coffee. I loved that it was more technical than I would have imagined.
Okay.
So I felt like it used all parts of, like, it used, like, my mind. And there's, like, an art to it also. And then getting to give that to somebody and see their face is also, like, rewarding, you mm-hmm. know? It was good. And so I continued on coffee journey because I was able to check those boxes off.
Right.
I can make coffee. It doesn't suck. I enjoy it. And I enjoy the people, talking to people.
Right. So. Okay. And so I think you've spoken to me before about your commitment to coffee.
Yeah.
Is that how you put it? A commitment to coffee?
Are you like the coffee farms and stuff?
No, I was just thinking about your whole coffee journey. Like it's a piece of your life. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go open a coffee store, but it seems to be somehow integrated into, you have a relationship with coffee.
Yes, yes, yes. So coffee for me, because of the way that it came into my life, feels like a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to put into words. Coffee in a way, the way that I feel brought me back to life. And throughout the journey, it's transformed me and it's grown me in ways that I don't think I would have been able to grow. Would I be doing something else? It's gotten me outside my comfort zone in a way that has felt not super unsafe or like,
mm-hmm.
It's felt just right, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so in a way I feel like getting to do this is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift. It feels like a gift to me. It also feels like coffee brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
and it creates an environment where people can connect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people can connect with people that they wouldn't connect with.
Okay.
And so to be able to create a space where all of that can happen also feels really special.
Nice. Beautiful. Now, I heard you say when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
When I was young. I think, okay, so that's when the Coffee Room was born.
Yeah.
It was my early 20s.
In your early 20s?
Yeah.
So you were already looking for purpose in your early 20s.
Yes. Yes, because, well, I've struggled with, I guess the way to say it is depression.
Uh-huh.
And so finding purpose was one of the ways in which I felt better.
Gotcha. So we've got about 6 or 7 years as a barista.
Mm-hmm.
You discovered, okay, I can totally make coffee. I enjoy it, and I enjoy being with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And being of service. That's what else I heard in there.
That's right. Yes.
And that this is really helping your mental health as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you jump from barista to coffee bar owner?
Yeah, there's a lot in there. So there's the Vermont chunk in there. So I went to Vermont. I worked at a summer camp, amazing okay. summer camp. And I learned, so as a part of the Coffee Dream, I wanted it to be, I wanted there to be community building. But I didn't know how to go about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How does one go about community building? How does one go about living sustainably?
Mm-hmm.
So I find this amazing summer camp in Vermont. And this is by way of my life coach at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this summer camp, can I say the name of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Farm and Wilderness in Vermont, they're very, very community driven, and they incorporate sustainability into everything that they do.
Okay.
Everything that they do. So I learned how to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we would do, we would think, okay, how do we do this in a way that we're minimizing waste? We are thinking about the materials that we're using and the effects that they're going to have mm-hmm. on the planet. And we're going to compare different materials with the potential outcomes that they could have or effects that they could have. So, you know, if we're using like pressure treated materials, what are those effects and all those things?
Mm-hmm.
So as I was learning that and learning carpentry skills, that I was, I think at that time I was thinking I would do building projects in some community, mm-hmm. whether that was like a country of origin, for like a coffee producing country of origin, or wherever the coffee bar would be, because at the time I didn't know when or where coffee business would exist.
Right. It's just a stream. If you could see Belen right now, she's got her hand. Every time she talks about this Coffee Dream, her hands come out into this like big circle that encompasses this space. This right now an ambiguous space, but we're actually sitting.
We're sitting in the space now.
In the space.
Yeah, that's right. So so yeah, Vermont was a big part of it because it taught me, I learned a lot of skills. I continued working at a coffee place in Vermont. And then my friends moved to Eureka Springs, Arkansas
mm-hmm.
to open a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there were maybe a little crazy. That seems a little, I don't know. I was very surprised. And so they sold their house and they moved, and they kept trying to convince me to come out and help them renovate a space or build a new space or something. And I just couldn't really imagine myself living in Arkansas because of where it is in the country and me being a minority queer Mexican woman. I couldn't imagine it, right?
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah. And so I think it took, let's see, they left in April. In July, my friend Wendy, she sent me a link to this coffee roastery in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and said, I think you should contact them and see if they can teach you how to roast coffee, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it. This is New Java Coffee Company.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it, and I'm thinking, wow, this looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about it for a month because I think about things for a while. And then I decide to call them and just ask. And so I get a call back from the owner.
I know that you could just call somebody and ask.
Oh,
right?
My goodness. That's right. So I get a call back from the owner a few days later. And luckily, I'm in the place where I can receive the call because there's no reception. In very limited reception in Vermont. And unless you're somewhere where there's like Wi-Fi, you're not reachable.
Okay.
So luckily I'm in a building. I was in her shop and I was able to get the call. And I talked to the owner and I'm like, hey, you know, I was just wondering if you'd be willing to teach me how to roast coffee, apprentice with you. And he's like, sure. I'll teach you how to roast coffee if you want to move to Arkansas. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, okay, well, I think first I should visit. And then he says, okay, yeah, that sounds great. You know, get your calendar. We'll talk. And then he said, and, you know, my wife and I were probably looking to retire in a few years, 2-3 years, so... If you have any business endeavors, I'm just going to put that out there too.
What did you think right then about that? What hit you?
I think I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I was like immediately over the moon. I think I felt excitement. Like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to remain calm, right, on the phone call. It's like, okay, sounds good, thank you. And yeah, I was over the moon. I was super excited and also kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking like, okay, I got to visit first. I got to fill it out. So I go visit in September. And the whole trip was like what I imagine when somebody gets headhunted. That's what I imagine like this, that experience is like. My friend Wendy picked me up. She took me to Crystal Bridges. She took me to eat tacos that were actually like legit, right? I hadn't eaten that in years.
Oh, right, because Vermont, probably not so good in the tacos.
No. My expectations for Mexican food have definitely, you know, they're not what they used to be. And she took me to a bunch of live music events. We walked to as many places as we could,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that I like about living here, being able to walk to places. And she introduced me to a bunch of her friends, locals,
mm-hmm.
all who consistently asked me as they saw me. I was here for 3 days, I think, every single day throughout the day. So when are you moving here?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was amazing. I hadn't experienced anything like that. It almost made me a little skeptical, you know? I met the owners of the coffee roastery. I went to the roastery. I smelled the coffee roasting. And I was like, yeah, I could do this. I could see myself doing this. Mm-hmm. This would be amazing.
Even though you're probably just surrounded by white people.
Yeah. Well, I was in Vermont too.
Right, right. Okay, I wasn't even thinking about Vermont. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that wasn't a total culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, at least there were tacos here.
You know? Tacos. You've got tacos. And we, Eureka also has a very diverse community as far as culturally and gender-wise.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So that was, like, much, much better than Vermont. Now, I had a really, really amazing community in Vermont, too.
Mm-hmm.
And which ended up making it hard to leave.
Yeah.
But obviously, I did leave. I'm here.
Right.
But yeah, it was, I left, I went back to Vermont, and I had a lot to think on. And all of a sudden I had a lot of fears and a lot of doubt to face.
Cause it was real now. Like, it wasn't just this dream being held between my hands when I talk about it. Now it's like, wow, this could actually happen. Like, things are coming to me. They literally, things came to you. You didn't have to search them out.
That's right. Yeah. And they were at my fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that moment of, do I really want what I say that I want?
And maybe, am I allowed to have it? Did you have that sense too? Or just, do I really want it?
I mean, I think that was also part of it. Am I allowed to have it? Is it possible for me to actually have it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, September,
mm-hmm.
Vermont. Now, what year is this? Because
this is 2018.
18. Yep. All right. Because we have to talk about COVID in there somewhere.
That's right.
It's huge, huge for everybody, life changing event. So, 2018, this was pre COVID.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to decide to move to Eureka Springs?
It took me 3 months.
3 months?
Mm-hmm. I tried to leave in December, mm-hmm. and I hit some roadblocks, and I ended up leaving in early February.
All right.
So I just had my 5-year anniversary of being in Eureka Springs.
Happy 5 years.
Thank you.
I think you're about to have an anniversary for the coffee bar too, right?
For the roastery and the coffee bar, yeah, in June and July.
And how many years will that be?
So the roastery, I'll have had it for 4 years, and the coffee bar for 3.
Okay. Wow, we're just counting down, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
So you got here 5 years ago. Okay, so you got to Eureka 5 years ago, and so Wendy and her husband are opening a brewery.
That's right.
And you're helping them with that process as well? Or did you just come and you're like, I'm roasting coffee?
I'm roasting coffee.
That's
it. Yeah. So the hook was coffee.
Okay.
When people ask me why I moved here, I say coffee and friends. Obviously, friendship was also
the
hook, but definitely coffee.
Okay.
So
within a year you had bought, you were in the process of buying the roastery. Yeah. Can I ask how that came about? Because I know that sounds like something really big to people. It's like, how do you go about buying a roastery? It's not like, I think a lot of times we think we have to have all this money, mm-hmm. or everything has to be in line and perfect to do something that big.
Yep.
How did that come about for you?
Yeah. So it's 2020.
Okay.
And it's leading up to, so I took it over in June of 2020. So it's early 2020, and I'm like, at the time I was apprenticing. So I was roasting coffee,
mm-hmm.
one day a week on Tuesdays. And I was working at Napa Auto Parts doing outside sales.
Okay.
4 days a week, and trying to figure out loans and small business loans and all kinds. There's so many options in grants and things. So COVID happens and the owners decide that they're ready to retire. They don't want to, I guess, weather the uncertainty, what is happening, and they tell me, if you want to buy this, like, this is like, it's now or we're closing it.
Okay.
And I think, okay. So all of a sudden my timeline just kind of shrunk, right? Or the time that I was working with evaporated. And, they offered to owner finance for me.
Okay.
And they came up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drew up a contract and signed it.
Nice.
And so that made it super easy for me. I mean, it was essentially turnkey. Mm-hmm. I moved it into this location and started roasting coffee.
Okay, so New Java was in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
You bought it and literally brought it over here.
Yep.
Because I'm looking at the roaster and all the big, huge 45-gallon things like coffee beans and all the goodness over there. You brought it over here, and this building is it a collaborative, a co-op? What is
this building? We call ourselves the Eureka Springs Collective.
Okay.
We don't really use that name a lot, like in social media or anything. But if you pay attention to the sign, yeah, it says ES Collective.
Mm-hmm.
It is a collective of businesses. So you got the brewery,
mm-hmm,
and you have the coffee roaster, the coffee bar. And then in the back, you have the Twisted Taco.
The Twisted Taco.
Twisted Taco.
Oh, look, the tacos got to you. Like, you didn't have to get fine tacos. They just were, like, amazing. Right there on site. Yeah. Every day you can have a taco.
I hadn't connected that. And they're delicious. And so in this building, we kind of, it's like we value craft, like the craft of making things, a craft of roasting coffee, of making really good lattes or coffee beverages,
mm-hmm,
beer, cider, kombucha, tacos, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's something, when you handcraft something, there's a little something more that it kind of conveys that goes into it.
Well, you and I have talked about that with coffee.
Right.
Because I was not a fan of coffee. Blech, coffee. I grew up thinking, blah, coffee. And then I got older and coffee was not my friend, because caffeine really is not my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here, and I've been to a couple of places where I was like, ooh, that's really nice. But I got here and I was just like, no, that's a cup of love right there. And I think that is a testament to your process.
Mm.
And I think of it, I know it's very technical, but I think of it also as it's a creative process. I don't know, maybe all these trades, these things that we are crafting, whenever we're crafting something, there's like a core similarity between them.
Yeah.
And that is maybe it's passion or attention or something in us that's like, I'm putting this piece of myself into it or channeling something into it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And I know you've talked about that, like that you want to keep that,
yeah,
in every cup of coffee that you make for every person that walks in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? Because we talked earlier, okay, we haven't gotten to how we got the coffee bar open. How did we get the coffee bar open? So the roastery's open in 2020.
Yeah.
And then the next year, coffee bar.
The next year. The next year's rolling around.
Okay.
And, you know, God Hold Brewing was selling the natural cold brew on that side.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, like keeping the light on for like soon there will be coffee.
Soon there will
in
be
this
coffee.
Building that you'll be able to consume,
okay.
Right? And I am forever grateful for them and their support. And it was just sort of a leap that I took. COVID was hard. Most of the business for the roastery was wholesale. And when COVID happened, I mean, those sales just dropped, right? Because a lot of restaurants and places closed down.
Because you have a very large client base in Eureka Springs,
correct.
The restaurants, stores,
mm-hmm.
like anywhere you go in Eureka Springs, you're going to see New Java Coffee.
You'll see it in a lot of places, yes. Absolutely.
So COVID, those places got shut down.
Yeah. And then when they reopened to limited capacity. A lot. Some places closed also. So that was tricky to navigate. So I had to get creative in building the business. And when I initially took it over, I told myself, I won't open the coffee bar until this is up and going and like doing well.
Okay, so the roastery needs to do well before I get the coffee bar open. That was the original plan.
Yeah, that was the original plan. I decided to just take a leap.
Okay.
People are asking about it. So there's a big sign at the end of the road that says coffee, and people kept coming in here looking for coffee, right? And it's just a roastery, then they're disappointed. You can get cold brew, but it's, you know, not the same. And so I was like, okay, there's demand. Like, I need to open it. There wasn't any coffee on this side of town.
Right. And you didn't just set up a little coffee urn for people to have a little coffee.
You know, we had some drip coffee. Yeah. Over at Gotahold. But people wanted lattes. People wanted espresso drinks.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Found a machine.
Found the machine.
Found the machine.
The machine that costs as much as my car, right?
Yep. It's, yep. Yep. Wendy and I, we found it used. Wendy and I took a trip to middle of nowhere, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I forget the name of the little town. Middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. And we pick up this machine that was really heavy. And it was a whole day trip. Left early in the morning, got back almost at night.
Who knew you're gonna find a big old? Is that an espresso machine?
That's an espresso machine. Yeah, that's a La Marzocco 3-group espresso machine.
All right.
So it is a workhorse. I wanted a 2-group because with a 2-group you can pull 4 espresso shots at a time. Mm-hmm. With that one, I could pull 6.
Whoa!
Which is fantastic because even though the space is really small, when it gets busy, I can pretty much, because I have my system, it's like having 2 people.
Right.
And that's really helpful.
So the space is big enough, really, I think it's kind of smart, actually. The space in the back is big enough for 1 or maybe 2 people to work back there behind
mm-hmm.
the counter. And then in front of the counter, you know, we can get a line of 5 people maybe before we hit the door, and then they're ranging out into the brewery.
That's
well,
right.
Actually, the commons area.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which has happened, folks. Like, there can be a line going out the door into the commons area. All right. So y'all got your machine. You got the machine, and you built out your space.
Yes.
Which you did. Like, isn't that funny? How a life works.
Mm-hmm.
The Vermont experience came into play there.
Yeah.
And you can tell that you put a lot of work and love into building out your space.
Yeah, thanks.
And now we have the coffee business open. And of course, I'm thinking about all the things you have to do underneath that, which is the business stuff
mm-hmm.
that takes so much energy as
yeah.
well.
So I was super lucky. My friend Lisa Bell helped me build out, renovate the space. We did it in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And because as soon as I got that machine, I started getting stuff. I started getting building materials. We started figuring things out. She would make lists for me. And she would make lists for me. I would make lists also. So she would help me work on things while I was working on getting the business license, mm-hmm. scheduling the health inspection, mm-hmm. getting that application filled out. All those things that kind of took more time. And so as I was doing that, she would be in here doing something with the space.
Nice.
Painting or cutting the cedar slats for the coffee bar. I'd say I need glasses, and she would look up 3 or 4 different kinds of glasses and send me links. And so then at the end of the day, I just had to like look at them, pick one, order it, and that was done.
That makes it so much easier.
Whereas if I had been doing that by myself, I would have gotten lost down the rabbit hole of options of glasses and things and thinking and just...
Absolutely.
It wouldn't have been 3 weeks.
That takes time to go do all that research.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So now we've got the coffee bar open, and you are the person at the coffee bar serving everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a very public-facing persona and job.
Yeah.
Which before you said at when you first had your coffee dream, you were, I don't remember the word you used, but...
Introverted.
Introverted.
Yeah. I mean, I still am.
I was going to say, do we change from introvert to an extrovert, or do we just...
Adapt
ourselves. So you're very introverted, and here you are, and Eureka Springs is not a big place.
No.
So not only are you serving customers, and you're new Java, like you're the face of new Java,
mm-hmm.
and kind of everybody knows who Belen is.
Yeah.
How's that? How did that go?
Well, so this is where the magic of coffee comes into play,
okay.
in a big way. Where if I'm talking about coffee with somebody, it's usually somebody coming up to me and telling me about what coffee means to them.
Okay.
And sometimes they're saying, thank you for the amazing coffee that you roast. And that is an amazing thing to get to witness what coffee means to other people. I mean, I know what coffee means to me, and I've learned that coffee means something different to everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that it seems to be that people that enjoy coffee, they all have a unique relationship with coffee.
Okay.
And it's more than just... it's what they need to function, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's that aspect to it, but there's usually also something more, mm-hmm. you know, like a moment of quiet before the day begins.
Mm-hmm.
With the coffee bar, a big thing that I wanted was I didn't want it to feel like just transactions.
Okay.
Just make like a machine. You know, like I'm just making lattes. I wanted interactions to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that in order for interactions to feel genuine, I needed to be present within them.
Right.
So I need to be present. And when somebody comes in, I need to be genuinely interested. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying need. It doesn't feel like an obligation. It's like genuine interest.
Okay.
You know, it's just, who is this person? Do they live here? Are they visiting? Where are they visiting from? Mm-hmm. What brings them to Eureka Springs? Is this our first time here?
It's a natural curiosity helps this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I'm making their coffee drink and they're telling me, I haven't been back here in 30 years.
Right.
You know, or they're saying, my cousin's getting married. Mm-hmm. I'm here from New York City. I don't know.
Great. So that actually, I was thinking about, you know, how do you manage your energy? And then it occurred to me when you said, and I'm back here making their coffee. And I thought of Japa Yoga, which is also used, the same concept is used in some business practices, where you're doing something else, and it's usually something really, I don't know, repetitive or simple. Mm-hmm. Like you might be doodling, or you might be folding something, and your focus is there. And for some reason, having your focus there also allows you to be more fully focused on the person that's talking to you.
Mm.
And I think it has something to do with the fact that you're not like giving away your energy or picking up that person's energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about it that helps people, or I think probably people are really sensitive,
mm-hmm.
Be able to be in situations that are uncomfortable mm-hmm. or that would generally drain them.
Ooh, I'm not familiar with this, but I'm going to look it up and read about it.
Yeah. It just occurred to me. Yeah, you have, like you said, you have a process behind that counter.
Yeah.
And you do this, 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 and this, and you're talking to the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having a genuine interaction, but you're not having to give like 1,000,000% to that interaction because you have a process you're going through.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, this, what you just said might play into it. Sometimes people really open up and like, and they share. And to the extent that the space almost, to me, feels like a sanctuary. And I'm not really sure how that came to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do my best to maintain it and keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I mean, like I can't really explain how it works or how it came to be that way. I'm grateful that people feel like they can
mm-hmm.
share.
Mm-hmm.
It's transient interactions. Some of these people I never see again.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and I think that's special.
It is special. And I think it also grows out of your brand values. I actually had the privilege of reading them one day. And that helped me a lot. And one of them, you know, is about respect.
Yeah.
And honoring our diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like the balance of when somebody comes in with a really negative energy or something that just doesn't go align,
mm-hmm.
what do you do and how do you manage that? Mm. And I think you've done a really good job of that.
Yeah.
And that's why people feel safe in the space.
Right.
I would also suspect that the people who were coming in that didn't align would probably leave pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Not because you're telling them to leave, but just right. because it doesn't feel good to them.
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of in the name, right? Just be, I wanted this place to be a space where people could just be. And that's a little tricky because there's a lot of kinds of people in the world, right? And when you put something out like that in the world, and then, you know, it's like theory and then the real life thing, mm-hmm. right? So in theory, you want people to be able to just be. But then, like, in real life, you might get somebody who walks in who doesn't really...
And they're just being an asshole.
They're just, you know. And so then, like, how do those values plug into that, right? And how do you navigate that? And I think, I mean, it's a scenario-by-scenario basis. But the way that I look at it is, you know, unless somebody is, like, actually being disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
just kind of give them space. Don't feed into whatever it is mm-hmm. that... has them unsettled,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of try to, like, listen, but not encourage the downward spiral or whatever, and make them a good beverage.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we treat each other with kindness and non-judgment,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it takes work. Right. Sometimes those parts get really tested.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a lot of power in that, in helping each other be better.
I would say it may also keep a door open.
Yeah.
Because you never know. I mean, we don't want to let everybody in, right? I don't. Like, there's some people that do not need to be in my space with me.
That's right.
But to kind of leave that door unlocked, maybe,
mm-hmm.
so that if something does change, they have a place where they could go to explore something different.
That's right. I've had experiences where, I've had customers that grew up with certain beliefs. Let's just say conservative Christian, and beliefs about, let's just say, queer people like
okay.
me. And then they've come in here and they really enjoy the coffee. And so they keep coming back
mm-hmm.
and they keep interacting with. And there was one in particular that said, I grew up being told X, Y, and Z about people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met you, and I thought, well, Belen's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's a deeper exploration of beliefs that's happening, right? And... that's where the power lies, in showing up and being present and just being me, just being me.
Yeah.
And hopefully showing people that if you are just you, yourself, like, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be anything else but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that can create ripples that you wouldn't even imagine.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end on that. I had so many other things, but I was like, nope, I think that's it.
All right.
That's awesome.
You got the emotion there.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add today?
I don't think so.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I so appreciate you welcoming me into your space and sharing your being with our audience and listeners. And you are loved and valuable.
Mm.
And thank you, everybody, for listening today. I'm Jenny Tooley. Check us out, jennytooley.com. And if you're in Eureka Springs, head on over to Just Be Coffee Bar.
Yeah.
You can also get coffee, which I'm drinking right now. You can also get coffee online.
Yes.
Shipped to your house from New Java.
Mm-hmm. NewJava.com.
NewJava.com.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, you guys. See you later.
Thank you so much for listening today. I'm so glad to have you with me. Ooh, if something resonated with you, I sure hope that you'll take that and expand on it in your own life. Maybe you can apply it to something that's going on with you right now. If you really want to get in on the good magic, I'd head over to JennyTooley.com and grab up an interactive companion guide for season one and check out the mentorship program, because that's where the magic's gonna happen. All right, subscribe, join, yay, love you.